Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, good Monday afternoon to each and every one of you, wherever you might be out there in Stand in the Gap territory. I am Gary Dahl, along with Sam Rohr and David Kistler, and we are just talking about the fact before we went on the air that we are 3 months old. This is the third month consecutively that we are on the air with Stand in the Gap today. And Sam, by the looks of that, I think we're in for the long haul. What do you think?
Yeah, well, Gary, you know what? 3 months, you know, some would say that that has been an alliance, for eternity. I don't know how, I'm not sure I would say that, but 3 months, Gary, has been a good length of time, and I believe that as God continues to work us along, we, God willing, will sit here 6 months from now and be able to say not only 6 months, but multiple times the number of stations that are carrying this program as we move towards the telling forth of the truth. I think that's an exciting thing, and I sure want to thank all the listeners that are on there that we hear from and that are tuning in live stream and live as well as listening to us on the internet. The program is growing. We are thankful for those that we hear from, and I look forward to this next 3 months even more than these last three.
Well, you know, in reality, you talked about the fact of eternity. Dave Kistler, in response to that, no matter how you look at it, 3 months is a part of eternity, right?
Well, Gary, it is. I was just thinking, you know, if this were a marriage and we were celebrating, you know, I think our wife would say, well, I'm thankful for the 3 months, but I hope it's a commitment for much longer than that, which, of course, this is. But it is 3 months in, and I'll be honest with you guys, the 3 months has gone by incredibly fast. I didn't realize it had been that long. It seems almost like yesterday that we started, but we are committed to this for the long term, and we're so thankful, as Sam said, for our listeners and look forward to what God's going to do in the days ahead.
Well, and that's true. And ladies and gentlemen, as both Sam and Dave said, we thank you for being there, and it appears as though our audience is growing, but there are some very exciting things that we look forward to here at Stand in the Gap today, that as time goes on, we will be sharing those things with you, and that includes more stations, that includes a greater impact into society from the biblical perspective and from the constitutional perspective as well. And so we are looking forward to all that God has. And we firmly believe, ladies and gentlemen, that God has brought us here for such a time as this. There's no other program quite like this one on the air anywhere across this nation. And so we believe that God is going to take it and use it. And we would ask you to pray for us as we endeavor to put together the programs and try to keep them current, try to keep them relevant so that you can benefit from them, and so that you will become even more equipped to be able to get out there and serve our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's always things to talk about. And Dave and Sam, I remember when we were thinking about putting this together, we wondered if we could ever fill up a full hour's program, but it looks like we could take 2 or 3 hours without any trouble right now. How about it? I mean, there's always stuff out there, fellas.
Well Gary, it's... Dancy, both you and I are right to jump on it because we both agree. You know, folks, you know, as you listen, you know, you wonder, well, how do we pick the things that are on here? Well, frankly, the three of us will talk during the morning time. We're all looking for those items that we think deserved the attention, the things that are kind of out there on the news. And we find it very difficult to actually narrow down the items that we select, but we try to do the things that either have a national or a moral or an international component, and we do that throughout the week on these programs. But Gary and Dave, you are right. We could easily fill 3 hours because of the nature of what's there, and perhaps one day that will come about.
You know what, Sam, Gary, this radio program's like a good sermon. You know, there's lots of material out there to draw from. You organize it, prioritize it, and hopefully don't go too long. And our audience probably couldn't stand 3 hours of it. But no, seriously, gentlemen, it is this. It is, there's so much to talk about. It just is literally all over the place as far as the topics, but we try to prioritize what's vitally important to our listening audience and then deal with those issues. And so it's a real delight to be able to do it.
Well, if we went 3 hours, we'd have to come up with another point or two and another poem or two. But I think if we did that, we could probably make it work, you know. But one of the things we do like to do is break news and share things with you, ladies and gentlemen, that maybe you don't know otherwise or you don't know the details of it. And just right now, we got word from our producer that one of Obama's advisors wants Israel to turn in their nuclear weapons. And we're just getting information on that as it comes. And, you know, it doesn't surprise me at all. And, of course, you know, one of the reasons why it doesn't surprise me is, and of course we wanted to talk about this a little bit later on, but maybe we can bring it to the forefront here, and that is that supposedly it's a done deal that the Iranian nuclear agreement is going to be announced today sometime, maybe as early as 1:30 this afternoon Eastern time, and we really don't know what is in that deal. But Sam, if this piece of information that is just coming across to us right now is true, that one of Obama's advisors wants Israel to turn in their nuclear weapons, that gives us sort of another component to deal with on this whole subject, does it not?
Gary, you know, I mean, I'm trying to fish for a word to describe what this is, because at the same time, to when you understand what's happening with the Iranian deal, if it comes to be, as all of those were looking, saying every condition laid on the table by this administration has been taken off the table. So therefore, the deal is not a deal in favor of our security. The deal would be a deal in favor of Iran pursuing their goal, which is nuclear weapons. And to turn around and ask on the same day that this may be announced, Israel, who is the object of those weapons, to give up their defense is about as ludicrous and unbelievable thing as I've heard. Yet it does not surprise me coming out of this this White House, but it certainly will not be met with happiness by Israel. Israel obviously doesn't agree with this Iranian deal, and for them to have this kind of a request put out before them, I can just imagine the response from Israel, who are also saying, here's a deal that we've signed with your sworn enemy, and here we're also asking you to turn in the very thing that they fear. They are going to be furious beyond end. This is going to set up, if this is true and it comes forth, this is going to set up another chapter like we've not yet seen.
And ladies and gentlemen, we just want to mention that we've just heard this, and we are trying to find the source of it, and that is, once again, that one of Obama's advisors wants Israel to turn their nuclear weapons in. And you know, Dave, when Benjamin Netanyahu was over here in the United States speaking before the Congress, he basically said that any kind of a deal with Iran would be bad for Israel, did he not?
Well, Gary, he did, and I think this information you've just received actually broke on the 8th of July. I am looking at it. It's an organization called the Plowshares Fund. It's a progressive think tank, and the president of that is the one that has been a supporter of Obama, and so he's the one advising or advocating this.
We'll talk more about that, ladies and gentlemen, when we come back. So stay tuned to Stand in the Gap today. We aren't going away. We'll be here right after these messages.
This is Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, and I'm thrilled to announce that BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, has come alongside APN as a national sponsor of Stand in the Gap today. Together, we share a commitment to further a true biblical worldview and to follow Jesus' command to be salt and light to the culture. BJU Press provides academically sound educational materials designed to fully equip children for college and the workplace. As postmodern culture seeks to eliminate God from the classroom, BJU Press integrates biblical truth into curricula that's accurate, dependable, and exceeds all national academic standards. APN welcomes BJU Press as a national partner and sponsor of Stand in the Gap today. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-5731. Again, we at APM welcomes BJU Press as a national partner as together we work to instill Christian values in the generations to follow.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor's not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. Earlier this year, I had the pleasure and honor of meeting Melissa Klein and her husband, Aaron, a wonderful Christian couple with five children who started a small bakery in their home state of Oregon. They came under prosecution from the state after they chose not to create a wedding cake for a same-sex couple, saying to do so would violate their conscience and their faith. Well, just last week, the state issued its verdict, ordering the couple to pay $135,000 in fines. In addition, the judge placed a gag order on the couple, prohibiting them from speaking about the case to anyone or making any statements as to why they chose not to participate in the same-sex wedding ceremony. Friends, liberty is under siege in America. Please pray for our efforts to defend religious liberty and for the Klein family that is facing such a ruinous court ruling. For more information on defending religious liberty, go to our website at pafamily.org.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
Did you know that after Washington retired from being president, he again became commander-in-chief of the Army? It was just a year and a half before he died that he received an urgent plea from President John Adams to put on his general's uniform. France, in the midst of a revolution, was demanding payment not to harass American ships. The cry went out, millions for defense, but not a cent for tribute. Washington replied this day, July 13, 1798, "We can, with pure hearts, appeal to heaven for the justice of our cause and trust the final result to that providence who has so often favored the United States."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and again, it's a delight to have you there by the radio or the computer, however you might be listening this afternoon. And before we went into the break, we talked about, we were talking about this deal with Iran concerning its nuclear agreement, and of course, we've been following this for quite some time in the news, and in reality, the agreement that they are to be coming up with is meant to impose long-term, verifiable limits on nuclear programs that Tehran could modify in order to produce weapons. And, of course, Iran, in turn, would be getting tens of billions of dollars in sanctions relief. And so, you know, this is something that they've been working out for quite some time right now. And even as we said before we went into the break, sometime this afternoon, probably in the next hour and a half or so, we will be hearing from a press conference really what this particular agreement is all about. But then we've also emphasized that it's just been brought to our attention that one of Obama's advisors wants Israel to turn in their nuclear weapons. And Dave Kistler, before we went into the break, you were providing some information on that. And it just, if this is true, that, the Obama administration wants Israel to give up nuclear weapons and is making a way for Iran to develop the potential or to have the potential to develop nuclear weapons, you know, that is not something that is surprising to those of us who have been following this Obama administration over the past 6 or 7 years.
Well, Gary, it's not a surprise at all. And if I could just maybe make a little bit of a correction here. Evidently, there was a conference call held last Monday. We're talking about a week ago now. That was initiated by a gentleman named Joseph Cerencion. He is president of the Plowshares Fund. It is a progressive think tank. And Mr. Cerencion evidently advised Barack Obama during his 2008 rather presidential campaign. And he was an advisor on nuclear issues. And what he is calling for, gentlemen, is this. He's arguing that if Israel will be compelled by the United States, pressure applied on Israel to give up their nuclear weapons, that will, listen to this, ensure that Iran halts its illicit nuclear program as well, which is absolute folly. Evidently, the outline that Mr. Cerencion is suggesting came from a book he wrote in 2008 called Bomb Scare, The History and Future of Nuclear Weapons. And he presented his position evidently in March of 2005 in an article in The Globalist. And so he has been an advocate for this kind of position for some time. But, gentlemen, it's unbelievable, absolutely unbelievable that a week ago, and maybe even in discussions right up until this very moment, the dismantling of Israel's nuclear armament is even being discussed as a condition or a term that must be met for us to have this with this deal with Iran. Gentlemen, this thing is getting worse by the second as more information comes out. And the Obama administration appears prepared to give away the entire store to Iran.
Well, they do. And of course, when Benjamin Netanyahu said a couple of months ago that any kind of an agreement with Iran would be very, very bad for Israel, he probably knew that. He has insights over there that we don't have, and he has speculations that we don't have as well. Now, according to WND, it was Aaron Klein, who was Obama's advisor, who wants Israel to give up nukes. And the more we learn about this, Sam, the more serious we see this is. I mean, it brings a whole lot of questions to my mind, but it also brings up to the forefront of my mind the reality that the Obama administration really does not want to stand with Israel. I mean, they may say they do. They may say that we are their friends. But to me, it almost appears as though that Obama would like to see Israel just fade away off the map.
Gary, I think it is absolutely clear. I don't even think we need to feel at all intimidated by asserting that because they have said it. And certainly Benjamin Netanyahu believes it. And the leadership of Israel know it, and they have seen it. So there's something very odd and very alarming about this rush to conclude a deal at any cost. Number one, it's not the way you do proper negotiation, but it's certainly not the way you put together an agreement that is in the interest of this nation, when in fact you've taken everything off of the table that was a legitimate concern. So this is a giveaway in every regard, Gary and Dave. This is an enabling of the ambition of Iran in its mission, because let's face it, their mission, their clear goal is the eradication of Israel and the United States, which is a bizarre thing that we rush to some kind of an agreement with them when they say And it wouldn't surprise me to have the president of Iran, as he has in previous statements, when there's an imminent announcement of a deal, that you have some major spokesman, a person from Iran, come out and say it's all a bunch of hooey and not true to begin with. So, you know, it's very concerning, and it's not the direction of that an American president has ever led or should lead.
You know, I've often said that I believe that there are two reasons why God raised up the United States of America. One reason is to get out the gospel of Jesus Christ. And, of course, you know, from this nation, many, many missionaries have gone over the years, and there are many Christians in various parts of the world because of the fact that the gospel has gone out from the United States of America. I've often felt that the other reason why this nation exists is to support Israel, to stand with Israel. And we've done that ever since 1948 when they became recognized as a nation. But, you know, it just appears to me as though we're getting further and further and further away from that. That is our protection of Israel and standing with Israel. And Dave, I'm wondering if you could give us a bit of a prophetic element regarding this. I've always been thankful for the fact that the United States of America has stood for Israel. But there will come a time when Israel is going to stand alone. And it appears to me that from the prophetic biblical perspective, we're getting closer and closer and closer to that. And it's not years away. It could be not even months away. It could be days away.
You know, Gary, as one that just came back from the nation of Israel, it was so interesting to observe the Jewish people and how much they understand that they need America's ongoing support of them. Any time that we were in a group and we were recognized as an American tour group, the expressions of gratitude toward us, thanks for America's support of Israel, was very, very clear and very pronounced. But Gary, there's going to come a day when an individual the Bible identifies as the Antichrist is going to broker a deal in the Middle East that will pull the Jewish people to the table. It will pull the Palestinians to the table. They will sign a 7-year peace treaty, and it will be seemingly a good thing for both sides, but it's going to be a horrible thing for Israel. And I think what we're seeing right now, gentlemen, is America aggressively, almost on a daily basis, ramping up the aggressiveness with which we are turning away from our unequivocal commitment to the nation of Israel. And it's absolutely tragic. And gentlemen, we may as well say it. It bears being noted. The person that is driving the automobile on this is President Obama. And the reasons for his doing this, I guess to some people, may be up for debate. In my personal opinion, there's nothing to debate about it. He does not like Israel. He despises Israel. His Muslim background is part of the reason for that, as well as a host of other reasons. But he is facilitating America severing a tie with the nation of Israel. That will be disastrous, not just for us, but for the nation of Israel as well.
Well, it is a sad case. And, you know, you say that Obama is the driving force behind it. He may be in the driver's seat. But you know what? It's the devil himself who's pushing this. And so I would like to go so far as to say that Satan and Barack Obama is in cahoots against Israel. And Sam, with that being said, in light of what we've been talking about here this afternoon, what should the American people do today?
Well, Gary, the American people, number one, understand. I mean, Gary, what a question to ask. You ask a logical question here, but these are the kinds of things are happening regardless almost of what the American people want. We must, as God's people who understand the significance of it, must see these things in light of their importance and be driven to our knees in prayer for all that these things are happening. And we should be opening our mouths to our elected representatives and saying, stand up and push back. Now, some are, and I'm glad that they are, but Congress is not doing enough on this matter. But they must, in their positions, stand up for our alliances and for our friends in that capacity, or the American people themselves will ultimately lose the freedoms that we have, Gary. This is what's at stake in all of this.
You know, yesterday in my morning sermon, men, I mentioned that we are living in exciting but serious times in the United States of America today. And I reiterate that because indeed we are, for many, many reasons. Exciting in that we are seeing prophecy being fulfilled right before our very own eyes. Serious in that, you know, it just seems like there's being a great turning away from biblical truth on so many levels. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we will be back with more Stand in the Gap today right after these messages, so please stay tuned. Don't go away.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
Fox News Radio, I'm Paul Stevens. A Midwestern governor, now the 15th major Republican running for president.
Governor Scott Walker, who took on unions in Wisconsin and won, announced he's running for president in 2016 in a video on his campaign website.
We won three elections in 4 years in a blue state. Did it by leading.
This afternoon, he'll hold a kickoff event in the heart of Wisconsin's Republican country.
Fox Radio's Rachel Sutherland in Washington. Meantime, Democrat Hillary Clinton on the campaign trail outlining some of her economic ideas.
Wages need to rise to keep up with costs. Paychecks need to grow. Families who work hard and do their part deserve to get ahead and stay ahead.
Hillary Clinton speaking today at the new school in New York City. She's also proposing tax relief for small businesses. Fox News, we report, you decide.
All right. I know this isn't any fun to talk about, but we should. So, who's going to do what? Flashlights?
Nowhere to be found.
Where to be found? Batteries?
Dead.
Great. Emergency supply kits.
Not packed.
No. What about blankets?
We have an old towel.
Good enough. Cell phones.
May not work.
Emergency water?
Not a drop.
And what about food?
Nope.
Perfect. We all know where we're meeting if we're separated, yeah?
The library.
Aunt Joan's house.
The bus stop.
Great. And I'll be waiting here wondering where you all are. Sounds like we don't have a plan. Who's up for mini golf?
Winging it is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency. Who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. A public service announcement brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Working for your liberty right here in Philadelphia. Broadcasting freedom shining light throughout the tri-state area. Streaming freedom shining light. To the nations, 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station, WFYN.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap today with Dave Kistler, Sam Rohr, and myself, Gary Dahl. And we want to shift gears a little bit to another situation that is going on in the world, and particularly also over in the same area of the world, generally speaking, and that is with Greece. And, you know, the Greek nation has really been in financial problems in the last while. Basically bankrupt, basically unable to function. And from what we understand, according to the information that is given to us that the European Council President Donald Tusk emphasized 9 a.m. local time, that is over European time, excuse me, that the so-called Eurosummit had, quote, unanimously reached agreement on a financial aid program that included what Tusk called serious reforms and financial support for the beleaguered Athens government. And, of course, at the at a press conference in which he announced this, he actually jokingly referred to the deal as an agreement. Not an agreement, but an agreement. And from what we understand, ladies and gentlemen, the deal calls for Greece, already reeling from harsh austerity measures, to cut back even further in exchange for more loans, without which its financial system would surely collapse. And, you know, of course, this still requires the approval from Greece's, from the Greek parliament by the end of Wednesday. And as what I understand is that they are working toward that. But it was the Greek prime minister who said, and I quote, "We managed to avoid the most extreme measures. Greece will fight to return to growth and to reclaim its lost sovereignty." And, you know, this is a very, very serious situation. To try to put it into common terms, the Greek debt stands at about 320 billion euros. That is about $357 billion, which is 180% of the country's annual gross domestic product. And Sam, that's a very, very serious situation for any nation to be in. I've got two questions to ask you. Number one, do you think Greece is going to be able to bounce back from this? And secondly, how does that affect us, or does that affect us here in the United States of America?
Well, Gary, good question. I think there's two things about that. Number one, the arrangement that has been entered into at this point that is going forward is not, first of all, not fully complete, because the parliament or government of Greece have to agree to this agreement. Now, it's assumed that they will, but it's certainly not something that the people of Greece are all enthused about, because in essence, this agreement is actually more austere and puts more more control on Greece than the one that the population turned down by a large majority vote just some days ago. So this one is worse for Greece than what they turned down. That's not good. It has implications going forward. Number two, this additional loan of 85 billion euros is added on top of what you cited, that 320 billion or the 350 some billion dollars. It now makes their loan even larger. I think it's interesting to note that that this whole thing started back in 2007 during a financial issue back then. At that point in time, the debt of Greece has gone up 33%. Their debt has gone up 33%. But compare it, which is your second question, impact on us. Our debt in the United States since that same period of time in 2007 has gone up 100%. We now sit at $18 trillion in debt. It's interesting to note that Greece is small in the scheme of things. They do not have the size of a debt that could take down the world. I mean, they have they're a trigger in this whole thing. But it does pull attention away from our debt and our circumstances here, which are far more significant even than what theirs are. The other thing I'll conclude with this. This is all based, Gary and Dave, on the fact that Greek assets are now going to be put up for sale. You could call it a fire sale. You could call it a yard sale. But over $50 billion worth of assets are going to be put up for sale. It's going to be housed in Luxembourg. They're going to handle this whole liquidation. But the kinds of things that are going to be sold are their assets, like airports and airplanes, infrastructure, and banks. So those things which are necessary for an independent sovereign Greece to pay back their debts and to become independent, they're giving up in order to stay where they are. So this, I'll say, is temporary. It may be temporary for a week. It may be temporary for a month, but it will not solve the problem. It does not address Greece's fundamental issues, and it basically holds together the EU. But on the end of this, Germany comes out the winner. Because of how things are arranged, the IMF is involved, International Monetary Fund is involved in it, but even they are not happy with the terms of this, but it's just to stay it. So, folks, this is but one little piece that is basically band-aiding, bubble-gumming this piece together. Implications for us here are very, very clear. Our circumstances are far worse than Greece, and our debt far greater percentage, and all of this needs to be taken in context around the world. I had a friend who does a lot of investigation, this type of thing, said it's very clear that in this case here, when these assets come up for sale, the one country that has already indicated they want to step up and buy them is China. And so understand there's a lot going on here. China and Russia's interest in Greece is high. We know it. And somehow, some way, there are going to be major players here again, if not anything else, from Greek owning the assets, which means who actually then is an independent Greece. There isn't an independent Greece. They are owned by foreigners, including Europeans, as well as perhaps even the Chinese. So this is not something, frankly, I get overly excited about. This is but temporary.
Gary, what's going on with Greece is their version of what we call the continuing resolution up on Capitol Hill. They're kicking the can down the road. They're not really solving anything. And what Sam just said about their assets being purchased by China or who knows who may be the ones that end up purchasing that. All of that is very disconcerting when you look at the statement by the Prime Minister of Greece that we're going to come back and we're going to be a sovereign nation again. That's going to be impossible with the assets that are going to be sold off. It's going to be possible certainly anytime soon for Greece to emerge as a sovereign nation. And as Sam so well said, they are not a major player from the standpoint of the kind of debt we in the United States have incurred. And for us to critique them is like the pot calling the kettle black. We need to get our own house in order or we're going to be over a cliff, over a waterfall from which we cannot return. But what Greece is one tiny domino at the beginning of a series of dominoes, each domino getting larger and larger and larger. And if they go down economically, it starts a process that's going to be very, very difficult to reverse. So it does have international implications.
Well, it has international implications indeed, but does it not also have prophetic implications? I mean, when you take into consideration what's going on over there, you've got you have the European Union, you've got the European Council, you've got the Euro Summit, you've got the Euro itself. And, of course, you've got all of these nations coming together over there to basically speak together on behalf of issues and to build and strengthen their economy. And it almost appears to me, when you look at the European Union, that every nation has lost a degree of its sovereignty, if not all of its sovereignty. And, Sam, is this prophetic? I mean, when we look at something like this, as we look toward what's going to happen when the Antichrist sets himself up on the scene, can we see prophetic components here?
Gary, I believe that we can. Again, where are we headed? Well, prophetically, we're heading towards a new one-world government. Now, we've had presidents in the past, both Bushes. And this current president have made it very clear that that's where they're headed with this New World Order business. Well, what is that? Well, that's an economic, political conglomeration that is primarily being headed up by Western banks and European and American interest. That at the end of the day, you cannot have a one-world economic system until or unless the individual sovereign nations around the world have been diminished. That then allows for something new to arise. And I believe that this whole financial economic under things we're talking about here, ultimately that gives the strength to individual sovereign nations. You can see what debt does to Greece. They lose any bargaining power. They become slaves to somebody else. Well, so do we, and so will we in this nation with the kind of debt that we are piling up. This is preparatory towards the loss of our sovereignty, a weakened position of bargaining, and puts it in position collectively of a new governmental economic power coming on the scene, which obviously is very biblical and very prophetical.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, yesterday I preached on living in light of approaching the day of the Lord from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And one of the things that I said is that as Christians, we've got to wake up. Let's not be sluggish. Let's not slumber. But let's do as the Word of God says there. We need to wake up, and we need to be sober, and we need to be vigilant. We need to be watching because, you know, it's up to us to proclaim truth in light of a lot of these things that are going on in the world around us today. We will be back with more Stand in the Gap today right after these messages. Please stay tuned.
As Christian financial advisors, we hold a biblical worldview and teach stewardship as a lifestyle. For over 30 years, we have taught families how to apply God's Word to our daily lives. Our three-day stewardship lifestyle seminars are held in Bible-teaching churches across America. We go far beyond basic budgeting and dig into the meat of Scripture. We believe that principle without application often lead to frustration. This is Roy Russell with the Life Financial Group in Douglasville. We are just west of Pottstown on Route 422. Visit our website or read our weekly blog at thelifegroup.org. There you'll find videos and PowerPoints for our ministry to the local church. In addition to investing and actively managing over $100 million, we prepare hundreds of tax returns for believers around the area. Come in for a second opinion and see how a biblical worldview can positively affect your investing and financial planning. Call us at 610-385-4500. That's 385-4500 or on the web at thelifegroup.org.
Securities offered through Genius Wealth Management, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
Kings or Parliament could not give the rights essential to happiness. We claim them from a higher source, from the King of Kings and Lord of all the earth. They are not annexed to us by parchments and seals. They are created in us by the decrees of providence which establish the law of our nature. They are born with us, exist with us, and cannot be taken from us by any human power without taking our lives. A quote from John Dickinson, 1804.
Hey, Grandma, can you help me with my Common Core lesson on the Constitution? But the only part we're reading in eighth grade is the preamble and the First Amendment. I wonder when we'll get to study the rest of it. Didn't you say our founding fathers were wise patriots and wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights to protect our freedom? This Common Core book we're reading says our founding fathers were racist and they didn't think women or blacks should ever be allowed to vote. She says, we the people. Didn't really mean you and me, but some rich white guys. That just makes me feel terrible about our country. We need to change things.
Oh, honey, that's not true at all. Our country is the greatest country the world has ever seen, and our founding fathers worked hard to be fair to everyone. I'm going to call our school board and our state board of education and ask why they allow Common Core and this book in your school.
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message. Go to nopacommoncore.com or call 484-678-2236.
The Constitution preserves the advantage of being armed, which Americans possess over the people of almost every other nation, where the governments are afraid to trust the people with arms. A quote from James Madison.
Never give in. Never give in.
Winston Churchill's words stirred his country in the face of defeat.
Never, never, never.
Today they inspire us to reach for our own victories. Commitment. Pass it on. From the Foundation for a Better Life at Values.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The Resource Library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap Today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap Today, and we are delighted that you are there. We thank you for the pleasure of your company. And as most of you probably realize by now, the Wisconsin governor, Scott Walker, announced his bid for the Republican presidential nomination today. And, of course, I think that he is number 15 now on the Republican side of the door, as it were. And he basically he's a very, very high-profile governor because of his battles with the powerful public sector unions and so forth that he really has had victory over. He announced his plans on social media and in a fundraising email, but, of course, he's also, if he hasn't had it already, he's going to be having a press conference here today, or I should say an announcement, a public announcement today. But in the email that he sent to his supporters, Walker pointed to his record in Wisconsin as a potential model, saying, and I quote, "It's time to take the successes we have created in Wisconsin and apply them to Washington." And, of course, we realize that he was very successful out there, fellas. He enacted policies weakening the union's political power. He became the first governor in the United States history to defeat a recall election. And, you know, some of the things that he did in the time of as serving as governor, of course, he still is governor. As a matter of fact, just yesterday, I guess, he signed in a new controversial budget somewhat. But he's also cut income and corporate taxes by nearly $2 billion. He lowered property taxes. He legalized the carrying of concealed weapons. He made abortions more difficult to obtain. He required photo identification when voting and made Wisconsin a right-to-work state. His budget this year, which plugged a $2.2 billion shortfall when he signed it into law yesterday, requires drug screenings for public benefit recipients, expands the private school voucher program, freezes tuition at the University of Wisconsin while cutting funding by $250 million and removing tenure protections from state law. Now, Sam, to me, that sounds like a guy who's getting a lot of things done, and he wants to take that to Washington, D.C. What do you think about that, my friend?
Well, you know, Gary, he does bring into the mix now some good things as a governor. He can now point to these things as the leading executive branch there. He encountered some very difficult circumstances, some very significant opposition on various areas of public policy. And, in fact, not only was successful with those, but was, in fact, reelected. That all means something. And so he comes into it, and I see that some of the articles are saying that he's, you know, he's presenting himself as the humble conservative. Some of those are saying that, and that he's just one of the people. And you know, let's say he wears a shirt that he bought for a dollar, and that kind of thing. So he comes into this as kind of like the hometown, homegrown son of a pastor, average guy off of the street. That knows how to engage great difficulties and come out successfully. So everybody is coming into that, and he will have opportunity coming up in order to compare what he is saying against others. But as this number grows, as this 15 probably may add some more onto it before we're done, all of these little pieces are going to have to be evaluated as pieces, but ultimately we're going to have to come back to the measurement of where are these individuals with a matter of integrity and character. Their experience does make a difference, but there's going to be time to flesh some of this out. But he does bring into it some of these good things.
Well, he does, and you begin to wonder how many people are going to get involved with this thing, David. I mean, you know, we're up to 15, and as Sam said, we could see more. And you know what? There are a lot of what you would call under-the-carpet men and women running for the presidency, folks that might have a little impact here and there. under some of the third party, coverings or whatever the case may be. But 15, 16, 17, do you think that that is going to really divide the Republicans and divide the conservatives to the point that it will set up for a better opportunity for the Democratic nominee to win?
Well, Gary, it certainly possesses the potential to do that. However, I'm going to say this. I don't think long term, really. I really don't. I think the way the debates are going to be structured, you know, with only 10 of the top people getting into the first debate and possibly some discussion about having, you know, a debate among the second, you know, 10 or the first eight and the second eight, whatever the number of entrants into the race actually ends up being. I don't think that it has to, you know, create unnecessary division in the Republican Party, depending on how each of them handles their relationship with each other. But I do want to say this about Scott Walker. What he's going to bring to the table is the experience, as Sam said, of being a governor. And he is going to play the Reagan-esque component. Reagan was a governor of a large state, California. He used to campaign on the fact that if California were a nation, it'd be the eighth largest nation in the world. And Scott Walker would be foolish if he does not play upon his success in the state of Wisconsin, because he has done some phenomenal things in a traditionally thoroughly Democratic state. So I think he will play to that. And I think, to be honest with you, men, he is going to prove to be a formidable candidate because of his success, not just in winning the re-elections, the recall elections, but because of what he has been able to do in a state, courageously do in a state that has been thoroughly Democratic traditionally.
Sam, what's God doing today in the sense that it looks like that a good number of at least the Republican potential candidates are Christian, claim to be born again? Is God setting something up here, do you think?
Well, we know that God always ultimately raises up and puts in the office in the final position of his choice. So we know that ultimately whoever comes forth out of this process is going to be put there, allowed to be there by God. Now, is it significant that a number of these candidates profess Christ? I think it is. How we interpret it is open to some subjection, I think. But I do believe this, that it does provide a tremendous opportunity, and I believe a duty, on all of those who are part of this process who say they believe in Jesus Christ, who say they have a relationship with God, who say that they are committed to biblical principles, to in fact act like it, talk like it. Their attitudes, their recommendations, when they say it, they're going to be measured accordingly. And I believe that within this process could be, if they hold themselves to this, could be a tremendous opportunity to drive and to establish a striking contrast in both approach and content to all the rest of the candidates.
Well, it's quite unique to have so many who claim Christ. And ladies and gentlemen, we just need to pray that their testimonies will be what they should be to honor the Lord. I'm praying that God will give us a president who will not only lead us economically and domestically and, with our foreign policies and so forth, but will also lead us back to God like some of the kings did back in the Old Testament. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being with us today. Our time's up for today. So on behalf of Dave Kistler and Sam Rohr, I'm Gary Dahl, saying stand in the gap for faith and freedom. Keep looking up, for the best is yet to come. No doubt about it.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.americanpastorsnetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.